Hey everybody, welcome back to No Manual, a Momcast, where this is a place for moms to feel connected, feel like they can relate, and that you're not alone in motherhood. Sometimes it can feel like you're alone in the day-to-day, but we're all moms and trying to figure it out. And hopefully this podcast can be a place where you can come and you can feel connected to other moms and to us. So today we are talking all about postpartum support. So what that looks like, what was really beneficial to us, what maybe wasn't beneficial, and yeah, everything postpartum. So, yeah, before we get started, we'd love to talk about our mom moment of the week. Do you want to go first, Erica?
Yeah, my mom moment of the week. So as we're recording this, I am 36 weeks pregnant with baby number two. So we're like right in that fun stage where it's like we could have a baby tonight or it could be like a month still.
Yeah.
Who knows?
A mystery.
Yep. And this weekend, so I think it was Saturday, I had just like a total meltdown. And you and I have already kind of talked about this. Is like second pregnancy is a little weird because people are like kind of less excited.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're like actually less excited or not, I don't know. But like you don't have the baby showers and you don't have like all of the like little things that people do for the first pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like so sad. I was like, this baby's less celebrated than Lloyd was.
Aww.
And like all this and like true like sobbing meltdown over this. Stuart and I talked about it. I got over it. Well, I didn't like fully get over it. I'm still sad. But, and then the next day we were talking about like, okay, how are things going to go with, like what support does Stuart or do I need from Stuart when baby comes and all of that. And then I cried because I was like, this time with just me and Lloyd together is coming to an end. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited for this baby. But like, it's just been like on a day to day, it's just me and Lloyd hanging out and being little buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when that's going to end because it could end at like, again, I could go into labor tonight. And today was the last morning I got him up just once. So then I was in tears because of not quite the opposite reason, but just because I was so sad that this time of just like me and Lloyd on our own is coming to an end.
Yeah.
So that's my mom moment of the week.
It reminds me, I saw this reel on Instagram where it was like, nothing is more emotional than when you say like goodbye to your firstborn when you're on your way to the hospital. And that verbiage in a reel like gets me every single time because I'm like, I know that moment is coming.
Uh-huh.
And it makes me so sad.
Like, yeah. And it's so like, because we've talked about this feeling of like bringing a second baby in where it's, again, I'm so excited and like, I can't wait to see them be little buddies and like, hopefully they have a lifelong friendship and all of this. But there's just like all of these mixed emotions where, and it was just like literally within 24 hours, I was like crying over the fact that this one, that baby in my belly is not celebrated enough. And then crying over the fact that Lloyd isn't going to be an only child forever.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, hormones can you know, be
they,
wild.
They really get you.
But it's also all like reasonable things to be crying over.
Yeah.
I feel it too.
Yeah. There's just so many things to feel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, my mom moment, I feel like a lot of the times I talk about something that like just happened right before coming over here. And my mom moment of the week is that. So one thing, like Colt has been, he's not sleeping well right now. I don't know what it is, teething, sleep regression, just getting over being sick, a combo of all of those things probably. But for his nap today, I like had to wake him up because he was napping for too long and it was getting too late.
Yep.
And every time I'm having to wake him up recently, it's like it goes terribly. Like he just loses his mind, like inconsolable. And so wake him up from his nap and get him out of the crib, which like even that is hard because reaching down into the crib, 8 months pregnant, and he like doesn't want me to pick him up because he's like crying so hard. And so I like just get him out of the crib. I'm like, if we just get into a different setting, maybe that will help. And it did not help. He's just like full tantrum. And I know every kid at his age, he's 17 months, is tantruming. But like, I swear my child has like really elevated tantrums, but that's probably not the case.
He just has a lot of emotions.
Yeah, he does. And he like, he loves hitting his head on things like when he's angry. And so part of the tantrum is like hitting his head on the ground or the vent or the side table.
He does that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And, or just like sitting up and then falling backwards and like hitting his head on the hardwood floor. And
does he get more upset because he's hitting his head?
Yes.
Cause that's what happens to Lloyd is there's been a few times when I know, like, you can see the look of like, he knows he's throwing a tantrum and like, yeah, he's trying to get what he wants. So he'll like hit his head on something. Mm-hmm. And then you see the realization of like that, oh, that hurt. And then he's upset because,
yes,
he's hurting instead of just the tantrum of not getting what he wants.
Yeah. And I'm like, and he will like hit his head and then he'll like kind of look at me for like a reaction.
To see how you react.
And then he'll start crying even harder because he realizes it hurts. And I feel like I'm still trying to get the grasp of like how to deal with his tantrums and what he needs and what,
yeah,
what is correct. A lot of the times I'm just like sitting next to him and I'm like, I'm here, buddy, when you're ready. Like, I'm here for a hug.
Yeah.
And today it just, it lasted, I'm not even kidding, probably 45 minutes to an hour of just this like inconsolable screaming. He's like snot everywhere coming out and like coughing because he's crying so hard, like practically like making himself throw up. And so then I'm trying to hold it together because I'm like, if he sees me have an emotional breakdown, it's not going to help him like come up from the what he's feeling. But I just like could not hold it together. And so I'm just like having a meltdown while he's having a meltdown. Thankfully, Michael like gets home from work in this time what and he just sees both of them. Yeah, I'm like, I feel so bad. I'm like, you're coming home from a long work day and I'm just sitting on the ground crying. Colt's laying under the entryway table with shoes on top of his head because he buried himself under them and he's inconsolable. And now you're coming home and like, please console both of us. So
yep.
I just, yeah, I feel like that was just such a real moment today. And like, yeah, I'm feeling way more emotional like you
yeah,
too, of just like life is changing again. And
again, just even without the change, the hormones of pregnancy in and of themselves.
Yeah. I'm a hot mess right now. Honestly, I'm a roller coaster of emotions
all the time
right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my mom moment. Not a positive one either, but
they're both alive. Very real.
Yeah. We're alive. Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about postpartum, and what that support looked like for us. Maybe things that we needed in postpartum and got and didn't get. And yeah, everything postpartum. So
yeah. Do you feel like you were well supported postpartum?
I do. Yeah, I actually really do feel like we were very well supported the first time.
Do you think you were well prepared for postpartum?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I had all like the items I needed.
Sure.
To like help my body heal. I think that the emotional roller coaster, going back to roller coasters, emotional toll and hormonal shift that I felt, I had zero clue what that was going to be like. One thing that I struggled with growing up was anxiety.
Okay.
And that like kicked in into high gear with for postpartum. Sure. Like I'd never felt anxiety like that before mm-hmm. in my life, to the point where like I ended up going back to therapy almost immediately because I just like didn't feel like myself. I didn't know what the heck I'd gotten myself into being a mom.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I knew anything of what I was doing. I had the support, like the emotional support around me, but I didn't know how to accept the help.
Yeah. I think that's one of the tough things is like just knowing how to utilize mm-hmm. the people around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is super tough. That's tough for me for sure too.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I try to be really independent, I think, to the point where like it's a flaw of like, oh no, I got this on my own, and you don't, and like you need to rest, mm-hmm. you know, like whether you have a vaginal birth or a C-section, mm-hmm. whatever, your body's going through a lot just physically outside of all of the emotional stuff, outside of the hormone drops and the all of that. Like even if you're just talking the physical recovery, like mm-hmm. you need to rely on other people.
Yeah,
so much.
Oh yeah. I do think one thing that we had around us really well, like our church community and coworkers set up a meal train for us.
That's so nice.
Which was, oh my gosh, it was so, so nice. We had meals coming like every other day. Mm-hmm. And so some days we'd be kind of on our own. But we also had family kind of visiting in and out. Nice. So they were helping cook meals, clean house. At the time we lived with one of our coworkers as a roommate. And so he helped us a ton too, helped us with like just household things, and helped us feel like emotionally supported.
That's too great.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys have anything like that?
So we had a meal train. It was super helpful. I realized one of the things that's so helpful about like food in particular, whether it's a meal train or it's like, hey, I just brought you a bag of snacks, or mm-hmm. is everything else, like chores, obviously so helpful when people do that, but like your dishes can go until tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know, if you don't do dishes today, it's not the end of the world, but like you can't say, oh, I'm not gonna eat lunch today, I'll eat lunch tomorrow instead. Yeah. Like I have to eat lunch today and also eat lunch tomorrow.
Yeah.
So but yeah, for me it was like having food was so nice.
Especially like after birth and if you're breastfeeding, like you're I was so ravenous. Hungry. I was starving. Every time I'd start feeding Colt, I was like, I need food and water. I was so thirsty.
I think there was a lot of stuff for postpartum that I like tried to prepare myself well for.
Ah.
I don't think there's a way that you can explain how hungry and thirsty you are if you're breastfeeding.
Like, yeah. Even at 2 a.m. It's or just whatever.
Another level. Yeah. During the day, Stuart would like, I would start feeding and then Stuart would bring me a snack and water pretty much anytime he could.
Yeah.
And then at night, I had like a snack station set up next to where I was nursing. So it's mm-hmm. like, I'm mm-hmm. going to be hungry. I'm so hungry all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember just having, like, I'm pretty sure it was, like, a bag of goldfish that, like, in the middle of the night, I would just handfuls of goldfish.
You just got to have
something. Not healthy, but.
Well, and so my mom had sent me, well, the crazy thing is, so no one prepares you for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't have any medical professionals tell me, like, you're going to be hungrier or even that you really need more nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom had sent me a video when I was pregnant from some, I guess he's an expert. He says he's an expert on Instagram, so it's obviously true.
Obviously true, yeah. Blue check mark.
Yeah.
You know.
His advice for this situation was good. Is that if you're breastfeeding, you're expending approximately the same amount of energy as a professional athlete training for 2 hours a day.
Wow.
And so you should be eating basically like that.
Like, you're a
professional athlete. And that nutrition or lack of nutrition can lead to things like postpartum depression and anxiety. Mm. Like obviously there's a million other factors too,
yeah.
But nutrition is part of it.
That is very interesting.
So I'm so glad she sent me that.
Uh-huh.
Cause again, whether this guy's an expert or not, he was spot on with that. Cause I was so hungry all the time. And that was when I was able to spot like, oh, I'm not taking care of myself.
Yeah.
Like there's the like normal postpartum anxieties of like, is my child breathing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, even when I talk to like doctors and stuff, they're like, yeah, you're a new mom. Like, those are just thoughts that you're going to have.
Yeah.
But I would start to have the, like, crazy anxious thoughts that I'm like, this is another level. And I could almost always trace it back to be like, oh, I didn't get as enough, get as much to eat today. Or, like, I wasn't taking as good of care of myself today as I normally am. Or, like, the first time I think I noticed it was when Stuart went to back to work. Because all of a sudden, this person who had been bringing me snacks on command pretty much was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't.
So you weren't eating
enough.
Yeah,
so I wasn't eating as much.
Yeah, I feel like the meal train was, like, huge for us.
Yeah.
I do think one side of it that was interesting, we did put, like, a cooler outside, which helped. But I do think that a lot of people think that when they're bringing a meal that they, like, that's permission for them to come inside and meet the baby. And, like, I totally get it. Like, you want to meet a newborn little baby, of course. But there were times where, like, we just were not emotionally ready for another visitor. And so I do feel bad, but we, like, had to tell people, like,
please leave
the food. Please just leave the food. Like, well, and it's we'll let you know if you can come inside.
Because, like, I had one friend when I was pregnant who she was, like, she had three kids at that point. And she was like, we'll bring you a meal. And she's like, we'll just leave it outside. Like, we won't bother you or anything. And I was like, the thing is, I know that you can read the room. So, like, if you show up and come in and hold the baby and everything is not okay, you'll read it and be like, okay, drop it off on the counter. Love to see you guys. Bye.
Yep.
But not everyone has that skill set. And I think that's one of the problems is, like, I'm not, like, I'm totally fine if you want to come meet my baby. Like, you know, at least the people that we sent our meal train to and, like, invited to participate. But I also need you to be able to, like, read the situation of, like, not that you're not welcome, but really just that we need space.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's crucial for anyone signing up for meal train, especially for new moms. Is just kind of like lowering the expectation of what those parents might be ready for.
And it depends on your relationship with them too. Cause there are some people where I'm like, if you're going to see me while I'm leaking from every part of my body and not looking cute, like, you know, some friends I'm like, we're already at that level. And then there are other people where I'm like, No, like, I don't want you to see me this way. And even if you're not judging me, like, it has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with, like, what I'm comfortable with or whatever.
Did you guys have, like, was your family around all the time for you guys? Or what
so, did that look like? Since our family's here, it's a little bit different. Because your family stayed with you? Okay. So, like, we didn't have anyone staying with us. My parents lived about 10 minutes away from where we were, and then in-laws maybe like 20. My sister, who lives out of state, did come into town, but she stayed with my parents.
Got it.
So they weren't like constantly around. And at one point, my parents even said they're like, because for them, they didn't have family close by, at least definitely not that close by when they had kids. So at one point they even said, they're like, hey, like, we don't know what's helpful because we haven't been there. So, like, we don't want to be neglectful and you feel like we're ignoring you. But also we don't want to be all up in your business if you're like, please leave. So, yeah. So, like, we had family and we had familial support for sure. After Stuart went back to work, my sister was around quite a bit. She would come over most days. But other than that, like, it was kind of on, like, a case-by-case basis where it's, like, you know, they might bring us something or, like, hey, you know, we want to see the baby. Can we come over? Like, that kind of stuff.
Do you feel like it was, like, enough support? Do you feel like you wish you had had more or less?
I don't – it's hard because, like, there's some pieces where I'm, like, this was really helpful and then other pieces that were, like, that wasn't necessarily, you know. But Yeah, I don't know. It also depends on like what it is. Because I think like stuff like around the house, we didn't have a lot of people like offer to help with chores or anything like that, which is fine. And I'm like, I'm not entitled to anyone else cleaning my house.
Yeah.
But I think like little stuff like that probably would have been more helpful. Partially just because physically you can't do a lot of stuff.
No.
And I know for me, like when mess builds up, then that adds to stress. So then you have this level of like, I'm stressed because the house is messy, but I'm also so exhausted and a nap is way more important than anything else happening. But I'm stressed because the house is messy and it just like kind of snowballs on itself.
Yeah. I felt like for us, it was, I mean, it was different because we don't have family in town.
Yeah.
We did have like people offer to come like hold the baby so I could go take a shower or take a nap. And I really didn't take people up on that. I think because I was an anxious mess, I like just, yeah, felt all over the place. I don't know if I will take people up on it this time, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to.
Well, that's a hard one. I think especially anyone who hasn't had a baby doesn't understand that like there's a like physical response to not holding your baby.
Yeah.
Like it's weird and it's one of those things where I was not prepared for that. But like you've been attached to this other human for 9 months now. You don't just like cut the cord and you're like, cool. Like I'm fine being away from you. So yeah. So offers like that, I don't like, they're nice. And I would say still offer those things. But it is hard because like, I don't want to be away. It's not just that it's not that I don't trust you. I mean, sometimes that might be the case, but more often than not, it's, like it has nothing to do with whoever's offering. It's just like, I don't want to be away from my baby. Like I feel like a part of me is missing when I'm away from him.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, for sure. One thing too, like I do think a few people came over and like held him while I just ate, which that was like, that was actually super helpful because I was so starving. Like they'd bring food and then just hold the baby and then I would just eat my dinner right then.
Yep.
Yeah. That was super helpful. One thing with our baby too, so he had reflux really bad. So he like was spitting up all of the time and not just a little amount, like a lot. And so, I was super anxious about all of that. We did have like, he was probably like a week and a half or 2 weeks old. He had like a choking scare. He like choked on, milk and like to the point where he was turning blue and.
So that helped your anxiety.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And this was at like 11 PM or something like that.
Of course.
And so after that moment, like that's actually when I like went back into therapy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because all of these like intrusive thoughts and like my attachment just like grew so much more. I didn't want anyone else to hold him. But then I'm also anxious, like, is this going to happen again with him in my arms?
Right.
I don't know what to do. And so I feel like that kind of like shifted postpartum for me a little bit.
Yeah.
And just like what I needed and what I got and didn't get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's super, I mean, that's super scary. And you already feel like you don't know what you're doing as a new mom. So to have like a scary moment like that for sure makes it worse.
Yeah. Oh yeah. What do you feel like you, I guess, wish you had?
So I think like one of the big things for me that made postpartum really hard is it felt like the first like 6 to 8 weeks, everyone was like checking in on us. And that's when it was like, oh, what can we bring you meals? Can we do this? Can we do that? And that was super helpful. And then it was like a switch flipped and there was just a drop off. And that was when things got really hard for me, was later postpartum rather than like right away. It was like right away, like you kind of expect everything's going to be chaotic mm-hmm. and really hard. And then, yeah, there was like a point that came and like, I get it. Again, everyone wants to see this ugly newborn yeah. and then they're not a newborn anymore. And everyone else's life goes back to normal. Mm-hmm. But your life has still been turned upside down. You're like, I don't know what I'm doing. And so it felt like everyone just like disappeared. Mm-hmm. Except for like Stuart and my parents. My parents still reached out a lot and like checked in. But otherwise I was like, it felt like no one was ever there.
Yeah. When did Stuart go back to work too?
He only had 2 weeks off.
Oh my gosh. So that was the same with Michael.
Yeah, so it was really quick. Mm-hmm. Which was also really hard. And he works a physical and dangerous job. So for us, I was like, it doesn't make sense for you to get up at night unless I like really need you. So like, mm-hmm. I mean, we've always had the agreement of like, if I'm losing it and need to tap out, obviously I can wake him up. But for most nights, I'm like, you work with power tools all day. So I would like you to come home alive, please.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he helps. He's a great dad and helps as much as he can. Mm-hmm. And during that time would help as much as he could. But again, he's working all day and then he has to sleep at night so that he's not, you know, falling asleep on a table saw or something like that at work. That's the last thing we need. But yeah, so I think for postpartum, it was one of those things where, like, yeah, people were reaching out quite a bit, just like checking in and like wanting pictures and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then it felt like the entire world forgot I existed. Mm-hmm. And that part was way harder. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, if people had just like literally sent a text, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, again, I don't need you to come clean my whole house or, no. Meals are always appreciated. I'll take any food anyone cooks for me.
Yeah.
But, where there were a couple times where I was like, I literally don't know the last time someone called me first. Mm. And when you're in this moment of like, still really vulnerable, recovering physically, really vulnerable emotionally, because you're like, I'm just trying to get through each day, like, keeping this other human alive, where I don't really know what I'm doing, that extra step of like reaching out to someone else is you're like, this just isn't the thing that I can handle right now.
No.
And of course, like, I know other people have, like, I'm not the center of anyone else's universe, but yeah, I think if more people had reached out,
yeah,
that would have probably made a huge difference.
Oh yeah. I was not very good at responding to text messages in that time, but I do think, I feel the same way. We had like family visiting periodically and then staying with us, which mm-hmm. that was like super great, also super hard.
Yeah.
Have family like staying with us as I'm like this emotional wreck.
Yeah.
But I think there were days too where it's like, I'm home alone with this baby and I'm like not sure of who I am anymore. Mm-hmm. Not sure of like if I fully know this child yet. And then like you're just alone.
Yeah. And like if you don't know the answer to something, you feel like a failure, even though you've never done this before, so you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. But like those feelings still creep up of like, I'm his mom, so I should know how to fix this.
Yeah. It's all those one thing when I went back to therapy, mm-hmm. one thing we really focused on was like the intrusive thoughts mm-hmm. that I was feeling with the anxiety. And it was all of those things of just like not feeling good enough to be a mom. Like, am I really cut out for this? And then also the like the horrors of like, oh, that staircase right over there, I'm going to like happen to trip into the stairs, and I'm going to chuck him down the stairs. Yep. Like, it was things like that I was experiencing.
Yeah.
And I just, like, didn't know what to do with any of it.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean.
And intrusive thoughts are so tricky because, like, on one hand, you have the logic of, like, this is insane. But then the intrusive thoughts are like, but is it?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you're right. This isn't insane. This is obviously actually going to happen.
Yep.
And so, like, you have that, like, almost Jekyll Hyde mm-hmm. in your brain of, like, logically I know I shouldn't believe this, mm-hmm. but I still do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was one thing, like, in therapy that my therapist taught me was, like, when you feel the intrusive, like, anxious thought coming on, what you need to do is you need to stop and you need to tell yourself, this is an intrusive thought. This is not the truth.
That's super helpful.
Yeah. And it actually really did help. It helped get me out of it. I feel like
that's nice.
I still have those occasionally, yeah. But I mean, I feel like all of us do in some sense, but
yeah, I know the first like big one I had with Lloyd is for some reason it was an evening that Stuart was gone. I don't remember why he was gone. Well, Lloyd was in his bassinet sleeping and I was in the shower and his bassinet was in our room. So we're like maybe 20 feet away tops, like, and that's being generous. So like I could hear everything, all of that. And I just had this fear that someone was going to break into our apartment and kidnap him while I was in the shower.
Mm.
I was like, this is insane. Like, what are the chances of that happening? Like, I guess technically that's possible.
Yeah.
But like the chance of that happening are
slim to none,
almost impossible. And I just like could not get that thought out of my head. Mm-hmm. Is that like while I was showering, something would happen to him while he was sleeping. Like literally that someone was going to break into our apartment and kidnap him.
So then you can't even like have a nice shower or like take care of yourself because you're like rushing to get out of the shower.
Now I'm just going to like get out while I'm soapy because I have to make sure he's still there.
Yeah. Yep. Oh man. I don't think I had that exact thought, but the amount of times of just like the phantom crying or what. Something. Yeah. Something while I have like a moment to myself.
Yep.
Okay. What do you feel like you would recommend, I guess, for postpartum?
So, I mean, not to keep harping on it, always bringing food. Again, partially just because you're so hungry and you can't put off eating.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like, here's a bag of snacks or here's your Starbucks order or, you know, something like that, I think is always really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things my dad did that was super helpful is, I mean, he's a person who like sits down on Sunday night and plans out his whole week. So he would text me and give me like a couple of options for at some point throughout the week. So he'd be like, hey, I can come over Wednesday for lunch or Thursday or Friday for breakfast. I'll bring you something. Like, let me know which day works. Mm-hmm. I'll bring you something. And so it was really nice to have a little bit of an option.
Mm-hmm.
And then also if it was like actually like all of those times that you gave me coincide with doctor's appointments or, you know, whatever, like this week doesn't work, whatever. He was gracious, like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call you next week or whatever. Mm. Or if something changes, let me know. So to have like a little bit of an option, because I think a lot of times, and I know I do this too, people just give you this like, let me know if you need anything.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to let you know if I need anything.
Right. When I realized part of the problem with that is like, we know it's not true because we all have boundaries.
Yeah.
Right. Which is fair. Like, I don't expect anything, you know, everything from everyone. But then that makes it really hard to like, let people know what you need.
Yeah.
So to have like, okay, these are the days that I'm available for you and like the options that I'm giving you of what I can offer.
Yeah.
Was really nice. And so he would like pick up lunch. You know, I mean, one time he brought me like McDonald's breakfast. So like, you know, it's nothing fancy or anything, but he brought me something to eat. And then he would stay for like just long enough for me to shower, maybe take a nap. So, you know, he could watch Lloyd and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And so he wasn't there very long. And
it was just enough to
help. So yeah, I think like, with that specific example of being super helpful, giving options, that's not like an overwhelming set of options, but like, but giving like some options so that whoever you're offering, and even if it's not postpartum, even if it's, you're just trying to support someone, I feel like, they know what's on the table.
Yeah.
Without it being, you know, feeling like I'm asking too much or whatever. And then not staying too long. Cause I think a lot of people, they just like, they stay too long.
Mm-hmm.
And too long can happen really fast when you're postpartum, where you're like, hey, you stayed for an hour instead of 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Especially for me, I'm very introverted. So having someone just like in my space mm-hmm. for too long is a lot to deal with.
Like you reach your limit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's like if, especially if you're breastfeeding, like as a new mom, like you're trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
You're having to feed the baby all the time.
Yep.
And then I don't know, if you don't know them super well, it's like, can become awkward or
right.
Like, hey, I got to feed the baby now. Can you leave?
Even if you do, then it's just kind of like, I don't necessarily want to have everything out right now. Or
no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or I just need space, mm-hmm. you know, and it has nothing to do with the person. It just has to do with like,
yeah,
I don't necessarily want someone else in my space all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like one thing that was super, super helpful for me, my best friend, Kimber, she's like just a super caring, like good caretaker person. Mm-hmm. And she, like after our son was born, I think that that first weekend we were home with him, she also sent me some options. She like texted me and my husband and was like, hey, like here are three options that I would love to help with. It was like, first, I can come over today and spend the night tonight and help you guys with the baby. I'll bring dinner. I'll go pick up breakfast tomorrow. I can also come tomorrow and just stay throughout the day. And then the third option was like, or like I can give you guys some space and you let me know what you guys need or something like that. And I was like, please come and please stay with us for two nights. And she did come and stay with us for two nights. And that was like, that was more helpful than I think she will ever know, because I was like anxious, hot mess, was not sleeping even when I could. Like my mind could just not turn off. Michael's trying to sleep when he can. And so she's like up with me in the night, helping with the baby, like watching New Girl with me all night long, because I just needed like something to take my mind off of like the reality of my life and what all was happening.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, she was just supporting me in every little thing, helping me with like taking a shower, because after a C-section, like getting in and out of the bathtub was like not easy at all.
Yep.
But it was just like those little things that she like, I don't know, she helped with dishes. She helped, like she meal prepped for us for.
That's so nice.
A few different meals. And she, I know for a lot of people that would be like super intrusive and a lot, but like it was exactly, it was exactly what I needed. And just the right amount of support in that time. Cause we didn't have family out yet.
Yeah.
To help.
I think that's like a perfect example of why like giving options is so great, mm-hmm. is because you're right. Like for some people, they're like, please don't do any of that. Mm-hmm. But then like for you, that's exactly what you needed. And like there might, you know, this time around you might be like, no, that's too much or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can like provide a few options, mm-hmm. and then like it takes the weight off of the new parents of feeling like they're asking too much.
Yep.
Cause I know that's really easy for me to feel. I'm like, I don't want to ask too much and ask you to do something that you're not comfortable with, or that you don't want to do. Cause again, like everyone's going to have their boundaries and that's healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't, if you don't tell me what those are, I don't know what they are.
Exactly.
So then I'm just not going to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not going to text someone out of the blue. Like even if they tell me like, let me know if you need anything, which I'm so guilty of sending that text.
Me too. Yeah.
But like, I'm not going to then go back to that conversation and be like, hey, I know you said like, let you know if I need anything. I actually do need this, this, and this. And like, I just am not that type of person of like asking for that help.
Yeah.
Specifically. Yeah. I need someone to offer it, yeah. I guess.
When again, especially I feel like postpartum, like you're so vulnerable. And even just thinking about asking can be a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like thinking about sending that text. Whereas like if it comes in, then you're like, okay, I can take you up on this. Mm-hmm. And that's much easier than making like a decision of like, okay, I have to text you and then I have to tell you what I need and worry that like
you feel that like I'm burdening you or.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I'm texting you on a bad day. So it's not really a day that you can help out or. Yeah. And like, I don't want you to feel bad if you have to say no.
I know.
Or any of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really tough, I mean, emotionally, you're just all over the place postpartum wise. And then it's tough to like add decision making into it.
That's another thing I would say is if you can take decisions off their plate. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's one of the nice things about the meal train is like, yes, you're getting food. Mm-hmm. That's so helpful. But also, I don't have to think about the meals. Mm-hmm. Like, usually when it's set up, there's like a couple of questions of like, what time of day? Yeah. And like, is there anything that you're allergic to? And like, what kind of food do you like? Whatever. But then outside of that, it's like, oh, Thursday, Laura's bringing us.
Yeah. Taco salad. And that's what you get.
And that's what we're getting. And it's going to be great because I didn't cook it. And I'm so hungry. Yeah. Yeah, I know this is less postpartum. But when I got pregnant this time around, shortly after I got pregnant, my mom went on a sabbatical from her job. So she had 2 months off. And she kept just giving me like, let me know if you need anything. Let me know. To the point where I had to be like, mom, stop asking. And thankfully it actually led to a really good conversation where I was like, the thing is like people keep offering to help and that isn't helpful because all it does is give me more things to think about and it's easier to just do it myself.
Yeah.
Like then have to think about like, oh, what should I have this person do? And how, like, do I tell them exactly like, oh, it would be helpful for you to do laundry, but this is the laundry I need you to do and all of these details. And this is
how you do it. Yeah.
Right. And so, like, really, you're just adding more decisions, and the decision fatigue is so real, especially as a mom, and especially as a new mom. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that happened with my mom when I was pregnant this time, and she was like, oh, duh, like, you have a million decisions. And so then she was like, is it helpful if I say, hey, should I come over Wednesday or Thursday, and would it be helpful if I did this or this, and just give you, like, two options to choose from. It's like, yes, that's super helpful because, yes, it's still a decision, but it's not this, like, huge, like, laundry list of things that it could be.
I think, yeah, the theme of this is options.
Yes.
One thing that I forgot about that I did want to touch on that was super helpful for me postpartum, our super sweet friend and coworker Angie, like went over to our house before we were home from the hospital and set up like a whole, nursing cart for me.
That's really sweet.
Yeah. So if like, I don't know if you have the capacity to help a new mom or second time mom, whatever, set up that kind of stuff too. That's just like added extra things, but she like, I mean, she added tons of snacks and waters and like nursing stuff and liquid IVs and all the things to this cart that I could just have like by my recliner.
That's so nice.
It was so, so nice. That was one thing
my sister did is she like tidied our house while we were in the hospital. And to be fair, she did put a couple things away that I was like, why did you put it there? But, you know.
But it was, you know.
But then it was super nice to come home and be like, oh, our house isn't the disaster that we left it in at 3 a.m.
Yes.
It's like it feels a little bit clean and tidy. Mm-hmm. And she also changed our sheets. So we came home to
that's nice.
A fresh bed.
Yeah.
That's not something I would suggest anyone do. Like, to have my sister do it was totally fine. Like, my mom did it. I'd probably be fine with, like, my mother-in-law doing it. Mm-hmm. But, Yeah, so maybe not just anyone make that offer.
Yeah.
But if you, like, are in a space of being able to support someone, mm-hmm. you know, if you do have that relationship, like, a little bit of cleaning
mm-hmm.
so that, like, you know, it's like coming home from vacation. You don't want to come home to a messy house.
No.
But worse.
Yeah.
Because now, like, you're sleep deprived and your life has just been turned upside down.
Yeah. Yeah, that was something our roommate did for us too. And that was like, I'm pretty sure I cried because I was like, I was not expecting that. And it was just so nice to
yeah.
come home to not the clutter that we'd left it in.
Yeah.
But postpartum is wild. It's mm-hmm. like, I feel like you don't really truly know what you need until you're in it.
For sure.
You can prepare all these things. Like you can prepare all the items and the,
yeah.
what you think you would need, what you see on TikTok or mm-hmm. Instagram, whatever, which is great. You yeah. should try to prepare all those things. But I feel like emotionally, I did not know what I needed and what I did not actually need until I was in it.
For sure.
And I'm sure it'll be different this time around.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, because I keep trying to think, like, people are asking or have been asking, like, what we think we're going to need. I'm like, I mean, I can tell you what I needed last time, mm-hmm. but this time I have an 18-month-old.
Yeah.
So I'm sure some of the things are still going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Again, please bring me food. I will eat all of the food.
Yes, please.
But then it's also going to be different because I have an 18-month-old as well as a new baby.
Yeah. It's like I need the support of, like, come over and hang out with my toddler.
Right.
For a few hours so that I can, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to look different and you don't know what recovery is going to be like this time.
No.
And it's just hard to prepare for. And the hormonal shift, I saw something that said that the hormonal drop from like being pregnant to not being pregnant within, it's like a couple days or something, would be the same as taking like 100 birth control pills to none. In like a day.
Oh my gosh.
And so like that's the hormonal shift. So then yeah, you even just like have this shift that is crazy.
Yeah. Like
and you
a wild.
Can't prepare for in mm-hmm. any capacity.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I think I saw something similar where it was like yeah, the hormonal shift, it was something in comparison to that, but it's like is the same like amount of hormonal shift that a non-pregnant person could feel within like 2 years or something.
Oh wow.
Like that, like just how slow that shift yeah. can happen, but we're experiencing it in a day or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like especially going into postpartum number two, I feel a little bit scared. I don't know if you feel scared or anxious or
I feel mixed because on one hand I'm like I've done this before so I at least have some understanding of like yeah. how it's gonna go
mm-hmm.
Whereas before it's like you just had no understanding where there are stuff like okay so I know I'm gonna need to prepare snacks around the house
mm-hmm.
this time because planning to breastfeed again so know I'm gonna be hungry you know so there's like some things like that I'm like okay I feel more prepared in mm-hmm. like those capacities but then it is scary because it is also so different with two kids.
Yeah.
You know, last time Lloyd and I would just hang out on the couch all day
mm-hmm.
and that was it. And I didn't have anyone else to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have someone else to take care of
mm-hmm.
who's probably going to go through his own emotional thing of
yeah.
becoming a big brother. And, you know, even if it's like the world's best adjustment, it's still an adjustment. So then like that definitely scares me. And then yeah. there are just like parts of it that I'm like, that was terrible last time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go through that
I
again.
Know.
Like, yeah, some of the emotional stuff and, you know, thinking back on some of the like tough nights where, you know, it's really easy to romanticize being outside of it. And we're like, oh yeah, no, there were nights where it was like, we were all breaking down because mm-hmm. no one was getting sleep and
mm-hmm.
it was just straight up not a good time for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so like knowing that those things exist
yeah.
is really tough because there is that fear of like, I know what I'm getting into.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the unknown anymore.
Right.
It's like you, yeah, you somewhat know what you're walking into. Yeah. I totally feel that too. Like, I think I'm scared of, yeah, the transition from one to two
mm-hmm.
and what that will look like in the postpartum aspect of it, because it's not just going to be sitting on the couch
yeah
all day with a baby and learning how to feed him and
yeah
all the things. It's like, oh, I have to be present for my other child too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this going to drag out the healing process a lot more?
Yep.
I'm also scared for the healing process again, and just like the physical aspect of it and how that makes your body feel and the soreness, everything like that. And the lack of sleep. Like
for me, that's been one of the big things I'm nervous about, is the lack of sleep. Because with Lloyd, I would just nap pretty much any time he was napping. Yeah. Where it's like, this time I'm like, you cross your fingers that naps all align, and then Lloyd will take a nap at the same time as the baby, and maybe I can get a nap in too.
Mm-hmm.
But last time there were a lot of things that were easier because there's only one to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Now having two to take care of, like, you have different schedules and you have this other kid that still needs to eat.
Yep.
And all of those little things, mm-hmm. that, like, I think that's probably what I'm most nervous for. Mm-hmm. And I don't want Lloyd to feel neglected or forgotten or anything like that. And all of that, like I said, I had like a complete meltdown the other day, because I was like, we're gonna lose our moments together, and he's gonna think I'm ignoring him.
I know.
And it's just gonna look different. And I know we're gonna adjust and everyone else adjusts and all of that, but just not knowing how that adjustment's gonna go.
Yeah, I think you can kind of see what that looks like in your head, but you don't know what it's gonna be like until you're in it. I think that's scary. And yeah, you don't know how, like, he'll adjust to mm-hmm. being a big brother. You know that it's going to be hard. Like, you know you're walking into this season of just, like, difficult.
Yeah.
Beautiful, but difficult. And you can prepare as much as you can prepare. But,
mm-hmm.
like, a lot of it is just unknown. And, like, you just got to figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
For sure.
I'm a huge planner.
Yep.
And if I don't have, like, everything planned to the T, or if things go different than what I'm expecting in my head, I'm like thrown off totally.
Yeah.
And that is everything that postpartum is.
It's you just can't plan for any of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with kids involved, like, you just don't know how they're going to respond. Cause then you don't know, like, I think that's the other thing I'm like kind of scared for, I guess, is I'm like expecting this baby to be the same baby as Lloyd,
mm-hmm.
but then I know logically that that's not true. So then it's like, okay, what if this baby has trouble breastfeeding? Or what if, you know, all of these things that, like, I feel like I'm prepared for because we did this one time. Are they going to be the same or are they going to be different? And I'm mm-hmm. sure there's going to be a mixture of them, right? You know, there's going to be some things where it's like, cool, we have this nailed because it is going the same. And then there are going to be things where, like, well, that did not go at all as planned because this is a different human. So they are responding to things differently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's wild to think about, I don't know, think about another baby that's going to be our baby, mm-hmm. but also a different child.
Yeah.
And I think one thing I'm trying to, like, wrap my head around is, like, just bringing our son in, like, into it to try to help in any way that he can.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully that will be, like, a fun thing for him. I know that it'll, like, we're going to have to learn boundaries and stuff like that, but that's one thing that I'm trying to, like, mentally prepare for a little bit.
Me too. Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, how do we include him and all of that, so he doesn't just feel like this new baby's replacing him.
Are there any other aspects of postpartum that you recommend or that you wish were not there?
From a support aspect, one of the things you kind of touched on this earlier is, I would say, if you are reaching out to someone who's postpartum and they're not responding, don't take it personally.
No.
Because I think a lot of times it is just like, I am at capacity, and the thought of responding to another text is too much. But don't not reach out because you might not get a response. Again, once the, like, 6 to 8 week mark hit for me, I ended up being like super lonely and wishing people had reached out. Mm-hmm. It's like, and yeah, a lot of those texts probably would have gone unanswered because I was overwhelmed, but it would have meant a lot to like just have the text or like, even if it's just like, hey, this meme made me think of you, or something that it's like, oh, you exist, I remember you exist, even if that's like the limit of the conversation. And then not being offended that if you don't get a response, because that's just reality sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then like preparing, I don't know if there's like, again, it's so hard to like say what to prepare for, because you just don't know what you're getting into, even if you have all of the things prepared. Mm-hmm. You don't know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. I would say make sure I have lots of snacks.
Yeah.
Especially if you're planning on breastfeeding. But
you did prepare a bunch of freezer meals.
I did.
That's very smart.
This time, I prepared a bunch of freezer meals. We have a month worth of meals pretty much that can just be thrown in the crock pot. And then I made a bunch of breakfast sandwiches too.
That's smart.
If you're preparing, prepare food, snacks. Mm-hmm. We had someone recommend making sure you have one-handed snacks and meals that you can eat. And that was super helpful. Cause it's like, yeah, you have a baby in one arm pretty much all the time. So having something that you can eat in that capacity. Mm-hmm. Make sure you have a good water bottle.
Yeah.
That's leak-proof.
Buy yourself a new water bottle.
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing. The hospital one is nice, but the problem is,
that's true,
they do leak. So I ended up wanting to get one that I could have on the couch with me that wasn't going to leak all over the place.
Mm, that's smart.
What about you?
I don't know if there's anything I would add. I do think really like the theme of this is just like reaching out and giving options is like the best support that you can you can give.
And being able to like read the room and read the situation of like, don't overstay. Even if you think you're someone who, and maybe in normal life you are someone who could stay all day, postpartum is different. So like, maybe you don't stay as long as you want to or think that you should.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else I would really add. Yeah, I think it's just every postpartum is different. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is like just offering support in some capacity.
And again, it doesn't have to be big.
No,
I think
not
like
at all.
That's kind of maybe a misconception is wrong. But for example, my mom, after we were home from the hospital for a couple of days, she like came over, she made breakfast, she made enough that it was in the freezer so we had extra breakfast. And then she cleaned our entire kitchen. Mm. That was amazing. Stuart has a friend who is one of those people who I'm only friends with because of Stuart. Mm-hmm. And he asked how I was doing like a handful of times. And I was like, that meant so much. And like, we never had deep conversations. It was just like, how are you and Lloyd? It's like, we're doing great. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah.
That was it. So, and these are all like varying levels of support from like the most extreme, because she's my mom, to just like, how's it going? And so like, if you were trying to support someone, I'd say like, don't feel pressure of like, it has to be this big gesture.
No.
If you have that in you and you want to do that, that's amazing.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But if it's just something small, like a text or like, hey, I brought you coffee because I was in the neighborhood or whatever. Like, I think that's huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of the biggest things that we loved and used for a while is like a few people sent us DoorDash gift cards. Mm-hmm. And so when like that 6 to 8 weeks hit or whatever, when things kind of trickled off, we like still had those to rely on, because it is hard to go from like all these meals coming and help, and then it's just like, oh, you're back to
normal
life, and you got to figure out your meals and your schedule and all these things and routine.
It's
and
almost like
your house
it hits again. Like the reality hits again, because you're like, you have all the support and then you don't. You're like, oh,
yeah,
cool. We got to figure it all out.
Yep. So a big theme, options.
Yep.
Offering support in some capacity.
Yeah.
Don't overstay your welcome if you can read the room.
Yep.
And just checking in later than just a few weeks in. Like, check in again with your friends and new moms and...
That's it. I mean, like, really, the whole first year is tough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a long time. But again, like, it doesn't have to be this big thing. Just like, hey, thinking about you. Hope you're good. Like, yeah. Like reminding you that you exist.
Yeah. Yep. That you're a person too.
Yeah.
You're not just a mom.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'd love to hear from you guys. Like, what was helpful for you postpartum?
Yeah.
What was not helpful?
Yes.
And then, yeah, any recommendations or advice that you might have for new moms, friends, or surrounding moms. If you have advice moms,
for us becoming second-time moms, yes, we'll take it.
Please. All the advice. But we like to close out each episode with, like, a win of the week. So what was your win of the week?
Yeah. So kind of going off of, like, my mom moment of having a meltdown, because I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, baby could come anytime, and we do have this like finite time left of like just, you know, Lloyd being an only child, I've been trying really hard to like slow down and like accept the little moments. So it's like, usually, you know, if I'm cooking dinner, cooking breakfast, or in the middle of something and he's like trying to get my attention, I'll be like, okay, give me a minute. And sometimes he doesn't even, like, get my attention because then he goes off and does something. So I've been trying to, like, take those moments and, like, actually lean into them and be like, okay, like, no, like, whatever I'm doing can wait 5 seconds while I, like, see what he's trying to get my attention for. And obviously I don't do this perfectly. One of the things I've been trying to do with that is get a picture of him and I together, like, most days. And so I've gotten most days, I think.
That's really sweet.
Some of them are, like, just like a dumb picture that, you know, we send Stuart while he's at work. I got like a fun one of him like touching my belly. He fell asleep on me for the first time in like, I don't know how long, the other day. So I like got one of him like this is one of the last contact, or like this is a contact nap that we haven't had in so long.
Yeah.
So like so that's my goal right now, is to just like slow down and like actually enjoy these like little moments.
Yeah.
And then get pictures together well in these last few weeks. So, and that's, I've so been sweet, doing like fairly well. So that's my win.
Okay. I'm going to take that advice and start doing that, because that,
it's been fun.
That's so sweet. My little win of the week is, it is really little, but, we have this little ball pit in our like play area for Colt. And, one of the cutest things that he does right now is he like, he'll take the little balls from the ball pit and he throws them. There's not very many left because our dog like takes them out and chews them up into pieces. So there's really not that many left, but he will take it and he'll like throw it. And I taught him to like, every time he throws it, I was like, say yay. And so he goes, yay, every time he throws it.
That's so fun.
And I don't know. I think it's just the cutest thing. And it's like, I don't know. It's not a huge win, but it's just like, the mimicking is so fun.
It's so cute.
And then it's like, yeah, he actually is just, that's the cutest
ever. One of the things that I was not prepared for being a mom in like a good way is like the little things that you're like, why am I excited about this? But I'm so excited about this. Yeah. Like, you throwing a ball and saying yay, it's so cute, and it makes my day every time you do it.
Like, Colt has not been sleeping well, and so we've been up at like 5 a.m. every day right now. And he'll do it at like 5 a.m. And I'm like, you know what? This actually makes me smile at 5 in the morning, even though I'm exhausted.
I'd rather you're sleeping, but at least this makes up for it, sort of.
Yep, pretty much. But that's my win of the week. What's your guys' wins of the week? Let us know.
We'd love to hear your wins.
Yep. We'd love to hear, what you guys think of today's episode, and what else you guys want to hear from us as we continue on in this podcasting journey. Hopefully you guys are finding it beneficial, feeling some sort of connection to other moms, and feeling like you are not alone.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Please reach out and connect with us on Instagram. Again, any of the things Laura mentioned, mom wins, mom moments.
Yep.
Any episode requests, and we love it if you would rate and review and subscribe so other moms can find us.
Yes, and we will see you next week. We love you guys.
Have a good week.